Many Christians have a right theology around salvation, where their eternity is secure, but they live through their lives knowing they're saved, but they don't know they're loved. And if they don't know they're loved, they're not truly going to trust God with every aspect of their story. Our culture is give me a pill, absolve me from any responsibility. I don't want to, I want to do as little as possible. I want to get the best outcome possible. And when you have that kind of conditioning, really, it is the opposite of the faith journey. Jesus sat down in this chair next to me and he put his hand inside my heart and he's weeping, telling me, Susie, he held my heart. He held my heart. He had my heart in his hands and he was holding it. And I knew he was healing it. And the Lord thundered in his spirit and said, son, I need you healed. I've got work for you to do. Right. And then he said, I need my people healed. I'm coming soon and I've got work for them to do.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hello, sweet friends. Welcome to the Visibly Fit podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. It is a delight to be here with you today, as always. And today I'm super excited because I'm going to have a special guest on. But before I share who it is, I just want to take a moment just to acknowledge that we're all on a journey, aren't we? We're on a journey filled with ups and downs and moments of doubt and glimpses of hope. But in this world where there's, I don't know, it just tends to be a lot of anxiety looming, right? It feels like there's a lot of anxiety and striving. It can feel relentless. It's really vital that we pause and that we reflect and that we reconnect with the deeper truths that anchor us. Those truths are in God's word, right? And so with that heart, I'm really thrilled to announce today's guest. She's my dear friend, and she's the remarkable Susie Larson. She is a best-selling author, national speaker, and the voice behind Faith Radio's Susie Larson Live. And Susie has dedicated her life to helping others experience the fullness of God's love and faithfulness. With over 17 million downloads to her credit, she would say to God's credit, because that is true, but to her credit, her impact is undeniable. She's so humble, but she has incredible reach, and it is. It's undeniable. And she has got an upcoming book. In fact, it releases tomorrow, so I'm super excited about that, but we're going to talk about that today. The book is called More Than You Can Imagine, What God Does When You Trust Him. And Susie shares powerful personal stories in that book, biblical truths, and heartfelt prayers, guiding each and every one of us that read this book toward a steadier trust in God, and especially in a world that's often shaped by anxiety and striving. She has a unique rhythm that blends kind of modern day breakthroughs with timeless biblical narratives. And that really makes her insights relatable and transformative. So she draws not only on her journey of faith, but also her health challenges, and just the everyday stories of believers that kind of pass her way. And so she shares that in her book. And Susie offers a deeply personal and biblically grounded message of hope. And I believe we could all use a little extra dose and shot of hope these days, don't you think? So whether you're facing your own trials or simply longing for a deeper walk with the Lord, this episode's for you. This episode promises to renew your spirit and awaken an expectant heart. Enjoy the show. Well, hello, my dear friend, Susie Larson. Welcome back to Visibly Fit.
I'm so honored to be with you. I love any time I get to talk with you, Wendy. So thanks for having me.
Well, likewise, this is a true joy for me. And I am so excited about your new book. I've already told you this is one of your best. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm not the only person that has said this to you. And so I'm just delighted at how God continues to stir the message in your heart and allows you to just put it on paper so it can penetrate into our hearts, what he has for each and every one of us. And so your book, More Than You Can Imagine, actually, and it's the subtitle is What God Does When You Trust Him. actually is released tomorrow. So it's this week, big launch week. Yeah. So exciting. So let's just dive right in and say, what on earth, what propelled you to write a book about more than you can imagine?
Well, you know, you maybe recognize those words from Ephesians 3, 20-21, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. Think of all those qualifiers, which you can ever imagine, but the clincher is according to his work within you. You know, he can do, he wants to, he will do, but how much access will you give him to your story? And really, I believe, and I've said this for many years, that I believe many Christians have a right theology around salvation, where their eternity is secure, but they live through their lives knowing they're saved, but they don't know they're loved. And if they don't know they're loved, they're not truly going to trust God with every aspect of their story. So if they live that way, you know what? They're not going to see the exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. Does it mean God loves them less? No. Does it mean they're less saved? No. But it does mean the enemy can rob you of your joy, destroy your fruit, and keep you back from heavenly reward, because how we live on this earth reverberates to how we live in eternity. And so as I started to think more about the idea of trust, you know, Kevin and I, my hubby and I, were having a conversation like, what is the difference between faith and trust? Well, in some places in scripture, they're the same, but in other places, they're different. Faith is your vision. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Trust is your decision. Trust is to say, because I know my God, I am going to trust him. And I would say that if you've walked with God any length of time, there are places in your story where trust comes maybe a little easier. And I would think that's often because you've won some battles. You've won some victories. You know, you look over your shoulder and you go, okay, you know, I've won a few battles. I know what to do when the enemy comes after me in this way. And so when he does that again, I've got some battle strategy. This is familiar territory. And you can shut him down a lot quicker. But everybody who's serious about walking with God, and even if you're not, you know, if you call yourself a Christian, there are places in your story where trust comes more difficult. And I would say often it's because these are the places where God maybe has allowed you to suffer. He's allowed you to go along without a breakthrough. It's where your faith is tried and tested. And what I've learned as I've walked with God, as I've worked in radio for 17 years, as I've been a student of scripture, is that the enemy goes after our identity to dismantle our trust. So I would submit to you, Wendy, that if you look at the very area right now where you're having a hard time trusting God, you can draw a straight line to how the enemy is going after your identity. He's telling you you're not enough. You're less than. You're rejectable. You're outside the circle. You'll never be one who's worthy of. And the thing is, I think one of the ways you can tell that if you're believing a lie about that place in your life is if you can finish the sentence, I'm not worth marrying. I'm not worth saving. I'm not worth having my prodigal come home. I'm not worth God blessing the work of my hands. I'm an outsider. And so when you look at where he's going after your identity, it's really that's where you want to go after it with God to remind your soul of what's true. And that's where you start to see things move.
That's so good. That's so good. You know, with that said, I mean, it's a lot. I think people know this, but it hasn't entered into their heart, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just curious, do you believe that we are kind of a results in advance kind of people? Like we want the assurance, we want the results up front before we kind of give that place in our heart away or to expose. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so much. I mean, and you and I've talked about this before, especially in the health and fitness field, we are addicted to quick fixes. I was just talking about this on my radio show the other day.
Life hacks.
Yeah. I mean, really, our culture is give me a pill, absolve me from any responsibility. I want to do as little as possible. I want to get the best outcome possible. And when you have that kind of conditioning, really, it is the opposite of the faith journey. God is not in a hurry, and you can't rush through to maturity. He is so content to move at the pace of grace. And so as we really slow it down a little bit really our goal then is to walk intimately with God and to say, any gift from your hand, Lord, pales compared to the treasure of knowing your heart. Knowing you is everything. Anything that I want from your hand is actually temporary. And it's just a taste of things to come, but I have you. And when I think about, you know, I talked about how the enemy goes after your identity. And the flip side, when you stay on Jesus' heels, when he's your highest aim and treasure, and you seek an intimate walk with God, when you'll get revelations, deeper revelations about who God is. And when you do that, you will get deeper revelations about who you are. And yes. I don't know if it's my first or second chapter. I know you've already read that, but there's this scene that I love so much when Jesus is walking with the disciples and he asks, who do people say that I am? Well, you and I both know he's not experiencing an identity crisis. He's not going, do they like me? Do they not? You know, or they can accept what I have to say. I love that about Jesus. His identity was never up for grabs. And in another place in the gospel, it says he knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. So in his knowing, he picked up the towel and the basin. The king of the universe knew that he came from God, knew that he'd return from God to God. So he could do what the lowliest servant would have done. You know, that tells us we're not too big for small things. We're not too small for big things. And that's if right. we can stay with Jesus, we get a revelation about who he is and how he is. We'll get a revelation about who we are. So that's why he asked the question, because he's like, you need a revelation. You need a deeper revelation of who I am, because the whole church is built on a revelation and, increasing revelations of who I am. And so Peter steps up and says, well, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Peter, you did not come up with that on your own. The Lord God revealed that to you. And since Peter was postured in a place of receptivity and of faith, Jesus could turn and then speak to Peter's identity. He called him a rock. He called Peter a rock before he ever acted like a rock.
That's right.
And then he went on to talk about some of Peter's calling, but also he expanded the teaching out to the disciples. Again, the church is built on revelations of who God is. And Wendy, I would say that you could read this word and you could become a student of the word of God with no heart to know the spirit of God.
Just the
and
knowledge.
You could become a Pharisee, mm-hmm. you know, or mm-hmm. you could chase one sensational experience after another and disregard the word and you become a heretic. We yeah. need spirit and truth. And as we submit to God at his pace and go, you are my greatest gift. I've got to know you more because you're so worth knowing. He will turn around and breathe on you because you're in a posture of receptivity and of faith.
Mm. I love that. Like it makes me just teary eyed thinking about when we're so close
yeah.
to the Lord. And it's like, you just thirst for more of him. There's no, like that's all you want, right? Like you're like, yeah, I just want to linger in my prayer chair. I just want to keep in your word. And it's just such a beautiful time. And I was thinking about how you really talk about how we are our best versions of ourselves when we are walking in the spirit. Mm. And it's so true. But I want to kind of unpack that a little bit, because there's a lot of people in the church that are like, yeah, I'd love to walk in the spirit, but I don't really know how to do that. Or am I, or, you know, there's kind of this, what does that look like?
No, I love that you asked that question. And you remember I wrote in the book where think about someone who loves you, you know, like I love you, Wendy. And I know
I
you love
you
me.
Too. Susie.
I really feel that way. I'm like, I see you and I light up and I know your friends watch your podcast because you are a deep, deep well. You know, you happen to be absolutely darling, but that to me is a side note, because the best, you're gorgeous, but the
likewise.
Best parts of you are a deep, deep, humble, godly well. You love the Lord and you're always learning and you're always seeking to bring his kingdom to bear. And so when I see you, I light up. And that is meant to reflect you, Wendy, how God feels about you.
Sweet.
And so I want you to think about that friend, whoever's watching today, those people in your life who light up, God is giving them to you to go, this is a glimpse of how I feel about you times a million. Yeah. And then there's those people who pull back, who look down, they bring their chin down a little bit. They're suspicious of everything you do. They assign a motive to everything you do. You are never your best version of yourself around them, because you're constantly editing, walking on landmines, you know, hoping so much that you don't step on the wrong eggshell and blow things up. That is how the enemy feels about you times a million. And I feel like that juxtaposition, you need to hear that so that you can better discern what it means to walk in the spirit and walk in the flesh. Because the enemy, if you're in Christ, he can't touch your identity and he can't touch your eternity. So as I said, he can steal your joy, kill your fruit, and rob you of your future reward. And so he will poke at your sense of identity. And if you don't know who you are, you will walk in the flesh and your life will be a series of reactions. So how do you know if you're walking in the flesh? If your life is a series of reactions, if you're more in your headspace about your insecurities, your insufficiencies, about the negative things that are happening around you,
Yeah.
You can walk through a storm. You can walk through the fire. You can walk through the flood with such a purity of heart and a power in your spirit that
it's
people
almost like
will
you
want
to just say, bring it, you
come
know, like,
on
come
somebody.
On.
That is exactly right, Wendy, because when you're in the spirit, like I said, you are brilliant because you suddenly see things from an eternal point of view. You know things you shouldn't know. And if anybody who's walked with God any length of time, you know when you're in the spirit and you're ministering to someone, you say something that you're like, where did that
come? Yeah, right.
You know,
right?
That was not me. You know,
exactly.
And God gives revelation because the spirit leads us into all truth. And we discern fact from fiction so much quicker. And I would say that the most significant test to know if you're in the spirit is a mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So I would say be quick to course correct. If you don't have life and peace on your thoughts, you're not walking in the spirit. No shame, no condemnation, but get back into the spirit because it's one submitted prayer away. Get on your knees to say, Lord, show me where I've gotten out of rank. Show me where I've gotten off step. And you know, you usually be able to trace back to an enemy attack on your identity or your circumstances, or he's projecting fear into a future, or someone who has your number. And no matter what you do, they're not going to like you. He's bringing your gaze to their thoughts. He wants you to look at your life through their filter. And God is saying they don't get to do that. But
That's
we
right.
have to constantly course correct so we can stay in step.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a moment by moment,
totally.
Hour by hour. It's like, okay, let's realign.
That's
until
right.
You're
and
like
that's
just,
okay.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Wax on, wax off. Wax
there you
on.
Go.
We're becoming ninjas.
Karate
right?
kid. Yeah.
That's
okay.
right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Well, I was thinking about the chapter in the beginning when you share about Kev's experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I literally cried. It was so sweet. Like I'm so sensitive right now as I'm doing this interview with you. And that's just the power of the Holy Spirit. And I really, again, believe this is one of your best books. But just sharing the sweetness of how the Lord moved in his life in that moment. Like he was ready. It was like his heart was filleted open and the Lord did a mighty work.
Yeah.
And I just think, wow, if more people could just hop up at 4 a.m. when they're called
and
allow that healing to occur. Imagine more than you can imagine. Imagine how we would all operate as a community, as a society, when we are allowed our heart to heal. And so thank you so much for sharing Kev's story. I don't know if you want to tap into a little bit of it here.
Sure. And
it's powerful.
I'm glad you brought that up because I feel like it's really important for us. I'm tender too, Wendy, so I'm sure I'll be crying. And
I don't know what the deal is.
I remember many years ago, a retired pastor friend said, when your stuff surfaces, when you're getting poked, when you're getting triggered, because that's where the enemy's trying to bait you into the flesh, right?
Yeah.
He says, don't shove it down. Don't shove it aside. Don't numb out. Don't make excuses. He says, rejoice, because it's the Lord reaching into your spirit, your soul, to say, you see this thing? I'm about to deliver you. So whenever you are triggered, it is an invitation to encounter God, where you get real with God. And that's what happened with Kev. And if you don't know him, he's 6'3", 200 and something pounds. He's a giant oak of righteousness. He works in the commercial construction industry as a senior project manager. So he's on massive job sites where he builds hospitals and sports stadiums. So guys with foul mouths that use language every other word, it's a rough and tough industry. And he's
Kev
a man
is a light in that industry.
He is the light. And but he's not a highly emotional guy. He's not given to sensational, you know, displays. He's steady and he needs to be to do what he does, but God has wired him that way. He brings peace and light and kindness and strength to his conversations. So I say that to say this was so God because it's so not. Like I'm like, I want this to happen to me, you know, but it happened to him and it happened for him. He had a wound that he picked up when he was young, that would get poked at the most inopportune times. And he hated it because he's a mentor, he's a leader, he's an elder in our church. And it just like, it felt humiliating to him that insecurities would surface when that thing was poking. And I always would say, God doesn't humiliate his children. He will humble us, but he never humiliates. So this is not condemnation. This is invitation. And he'd get poked. And finally, there were some things in the work situation that were so devastating to him that God was not letting him ignore this wound. And so we called up our mentor. He's a businessman. He's retired. He's a phenomenal businessman and a godly man. And we dedicated the book to him and his wife, by the way. His name's Scott. And I don't know if it was a few years prior, but he'd had a a brain injury. He had a fall and he had a traumatic brain injury. And so he was still getting cognitive function back. And so when we called him, one of the lies that Kev believed was, I'm not worth pursuing. I'm not worth making time for. I'm not worth accommodating. He's always doing the pursuing. He's always doing the accommodating. And I'm not worth pursuing is what he really believed in his core. So when we called Scott to say, we just need some time, Scott said, Kevin, I'm here. He says, I got a notebook because I'm still getting my brain back and I want to take notes. Tell me all the players. Tell me every situation. Go slow. I'm going to write down every note. He said, I got all night. I want to repeat back what I hear. So I want to make sure I get it right. And I want to hear from God on your behalf. Mm. And I watched Kev as he just started to unpack what hurt him and the lies he was believing. And my strong husband, his little lip started to quiver and I almost couldn't bear it. That to me was enough, just that this man had all the time in the world for him. And that right there was refuting the lie. Mm. But God wasn't ready just to leave it at that. So it was 4 o'clock in the morning. The next morning, he woke up with a start and God said, come out to your prayer chair. I want to talk with you. Kev got out there, played his prayer, his worship playlist. He's got 1,000 songs on that. And he put his head back. And so that's where he was at. I came out at 6 a.m. for my regular time. And we usually greet each other. We finish our times and then we come together to pray. So I just, hey, hon, I just was thinking he was okay. And he didn't respond. And I looked over at him and his head was back. His Bible was in his chest and he was weeping. Oh. I mean, his lips were trembling. Tears were pouring out. I'm like, are you okay? And he said, I've just met with God. Hmm. And in that time, in that two-hour span, he said, God, literally, he said, met me. He said, Jesus sat down on this chair next to me and he put his hand inside my heart and he's weeping, telling me, Susie, he held my heart. He held my heart. He had my heart in his hands and he was holding it. And I knew he was healing it. And he kept saying to me, I'm so sorry, son. I know that hurt you. I'm so sorry. And he just held him and kept just said, I don't even know how long. But I knew he was ministering this life to my heart and it was so tender and palpable. Yeah. And he said, I don't know what time passed. And then the song by Lenny LeBlanc came on and it's, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And he was just in awe. And then there was this moment when the Lord thundered in his spirit and said, son, I need you healed. Mm-hmm. I've got work for you to do. Right. And then he said, I need my people healed. I'm coming soon and I've got work for them to do. Mm. And I'm going to tell you, Wendy, we sat for 2 hours and just cried and just opened up the word and just thanked God with our whole hearts. Yeah. And it was over after that. That wound was healed. And it's like things that would normally poke him. He's like, I've got work to do. Mm. And Jesus is enough for me. And this giant, strong man was tenderized on even a deeper level. And I'm overwhelmed that God would do that.
It's so sweet.
For my husband. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the whole, if you know, you know, you know, it's like, and you can just feel it. You know what it's like and what it feels like. And so to have you walk us through Kev's experience is like those of us that have had our own, it kind of brings that back fresh again. And it's so sweet and so intimate. And that's how amazing our God is.
Amen.
And so it's like, what are we waiting for? Like, stop with the fear. I think there's fear maybe around exposing and allowing our heart to be even on display before the Lord.
I think you're right. I think it's self, pardon me.
forget the makeup, right?
I think it's self-preservation. Because someone might be listening going, well, I can't make a God encounter happen. I need it to happen. And you can't, God will, he's like the wind, he'll show up when he does, but you can position yourself on the path of his promises. And I think it really does boil down to what are you doing when your stuff surfaces? I think you're right. I think we're so afraid to be real and raw, but when you humble yourself before God and you say, God, I want to trust you more. I want to know you more. When I think of Ephesians 3:20-21, that according to his word within me, I want to give you more access to my story. Yes. Show me the lies I picked up when life let me down. You will be amazed at the kindness of God. You're not in trouble,
Right.
He loves you. And as he starts to show you, these are some lies and this is how it plays out. You know, even if he has some confrontation for you, it may sound something like this. You know your tendency to show up late everywhere you go? We both know that's not time management. You don't want people to know you. You come in late, you leave early, but I want you to be known. That's fear. Mm. I want to deliver you from that fear. And if we want to give God more space, he will take it. If you don't want to give it to God, the enemy will take it. And that's why I think building resilient trust is a word for us right now in the day that we're in, because the enemy's going to test us, you know, come against us at every turn. Yeah. And it's like, you know, like my husband, I've been married to him for over 40 years. And he's
congratulations, such, by
thank
the
you,
way.
Thank you. He's an amazing guy. But if you were to say to me, Wendy, I saw him at the bar last night, you know, he got completely drunk and then he walloped somebody in the face. I could say with 100%.
That wasn't my husband, right?
Wrong guy. Right. Now, if you said, you know, Kev was traveling and he stopped by and stayed with Todd and I and he left his socks on the floor in one room and left his shirt in the other, I'd be like, yeah, that's him. You know, the thing is, God wants us to know him so well, and you know him by trusting him. You gain new victories. You overcome battles. You know him. So when the enemy comes knocking, you go, you got the wrong guy. I know my God. And I trust him. And you are attributing to him stuff you are guilty of. And that's why the picture of those who pick you apart and those who love you, keep it in your head, because then you'll know what God's voice sounds like. Because even his voice of correction is filled with love, hope, and peace. And you know it. You know when he corrects you, there's life on it, right?
That's a good word. Yeah.
Because he doesn't condemn.
Right. That's it. That's it. And I think, again, going back to the fear of that, I think a lot of people might feel like they're going to be condemned or, you know, be pointed at and yelled at, and then they just dismiss it and escape. They go to escapism. They go to social media. They go to the news, whatever. They numb out. Mm-hmm. And then that way they don't have to deal with it, and they get caught in the pleasure trap and the whole just vicious cycle of that. And so do you want to talk just a moment about that? Because I believe that there is a... for lack of better words, an epidemic of numbing out right now.
That's what my next Bible study is about.
Oh, is that right?
I can tell you more about it than that, but the pleasure trap. Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I had an expert, I think you may know her, Dr. Holly Geyer. She's the daughter of Rich and Lynette Sherber, who were directors of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge and took it from a struggling ministry to a unbelievable organization that rescues people from addiction. Well, Holly, being raised with such missional parents, became a doctor, and she works for Mayo Clinic in Arizona as an opioid expert. So she came on to talk about not only the epidemic of opioid addiction, but she said, Susie, the culture is set up for addictive behavior because we keep tapping the pleasure center of our brain because we don't want to feel our pain. Yeah. And she's like, every time you do that, you reinforce your captivity. And I think you probably know of Dr. Huberman. I think he's a sports scientist, whatever. But he said, anytime that you go for a dopamine hit without paying for it, in my paraphrase, he's like, you're again reinforcing captivity. You're on a slippery slope. So what does that mean? Well, that feel-good hormone is released by doing, God wired our bodies. It's a reward system for going for a brisk walk, lifting weights, helping your neighbor, you know, laughing out loud at one of God's great gifts to you. That's the process. But when you go scroll, you eat, you buy, you drink, and you're tapping the pleasure center of your brain, you're actually damaging your brain and decreasing your capacity to actually enjoy the gifts that are God's gifts to you. And you want a shortcut. And we are in a world of shortcuts. And the devil can just sit back and watch us self-sabotage because we're numbing, 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 numbing. So I think the question is, what am I trying so hard not to feel? Because you have to feel it to heal it. And when you start to heal it and you trust God, you get more real estate with God. And then you've got another space in your life where you're like, I've overcome some things. I trust him in this. Mm-hmm. And we're postponing trust by numbing our pain for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Before the interview, I just kind of looked outside our back window and saw a deer in the back part of our yard. And I thought, thank you, Lord. What a gift. And I'm like, that's a dopamine hit. You know what
it
I
is.
Mean? Like, that's a beautiful thing.
Because so if we you can had start the presence of mind to pause and be in awe, right?
Right. And the power of being in awe. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Well, you challenge us in your book not to settle in the day of crisis. Explain what you mean by that.
This is an important one. So in that chapter, I talk about a friend of mine, and she's in her 40s, and she works in healthcare. She's a competitive athlete, and she's fire for God. I mean, that girl is on mission. She's disciplined. She's focused. And a few years ago, started to experience some neurosymptoms that point to Parkinson's disease. Mm. And at first, she was absolutely terrified, as anybody would be, because she knew enough to know this is not good. But then faith rose up in her. God just gave her the gift of faith, going, I'm allowing this test. I'm going to bring you through, and you will have a ministry to pray for healing with people that have neuro diseases, which is amazing, Wendy, because you and I both know there's a lot of neuro diagnoses that are not good. You know,
I mean,
most times when you have neurological symptoms, it's a painful, hard, hard road. And I don't know very many people who would fight like her, but suddenly she got her game on. And she, on top of her morning prayer time, would get up in the middle of the night and call it her hour of power. And she'd get on her knees and she'd, for an hour, tell God how great he is and that she will overcome. And then she formed a battle box. Wish I had mine with me.
Yes, I read that. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. And she brought one to my house because she just got a little plastic box with some recipe cards. Every time the Lord highlighted a verse or a promise, she wrote it down. And so another part of her daily routine is to go through her battle box where she's rehearsing scripture. And she, as a competitive athlete, she's doing downhill skiing, and her coaches, like only a few of us know that she's walking through this, like a small, tiny number. So I changed her name, but her coaches have no idea that she's experiencing escalating, debilitating symptoms, but she is so fierce and focused on the word of God. And she says, all fear is leaving me. And she's getting faster speeds. She's winning platinum medals. Like, so even though her body's doing one thing, her spirit is overriding it. And then she has a sister whose husband has a brain tumor. So they asked her to come over to pray. This woman is immersed. So when she's not doing Our Power Battle Box or Morning Devo time, she's praying in her car. She's praying without ceasing. And she's not just praying about overcoming. She's praying for the faith to pray for those who have MS, Parkinson's, all those others, to see that they would be delivered and healed. Mm. And we need someone like that in the kingdom, because too many people are suffering, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, she goes to pray for this brother-in-law. And she has so much authority because she spends so much time in the fire with the Lord, that she prayed with so much power that the next day her sister said to her husband, I'm going to pay her to make me a battle box with every single verse, to write down every single thing that she does, because I want what she has. And her husband says, you can't have her oil. Her oil is not for sale. You got to buy your own. And I thought, wow, that's pretty powerful. And that's really, really true. And when she brought me my battle box over, I was walking through the fire in multiple ways. And one of them was with tinnitus, where it's been so severe that at times it's like swords and knives and screaming, piercing in my ear, like to the point where I don't think I can bear it. And there's not a good outcome if it stays at that level for your brain and nervous system. It's just tough. And I was sitting on the couch with my hubby. I'm getting some PT for brain inflammation, and it had come down a couple of notches, still pretty loud. And it jacked up again. And I, pardon my language, but I said, hell no, you are not doing this to me today. And I picked up my battle box. I went downstairs. I marched for an hour and a half, like I was marching around Jericho's wall.
Right.
And I'm going through my battle box. And once I got through all the verses, I kept marching. And I, to memory, Psalm 27, Psalm 91, Psalm 23, and a handful of other passages, I just kept marching. I felt my strength rise up. I felt the ringing come down, and I felt the fear of the enemy. I was sending missiles into the enemy camp. And the next morning, Kevin and I were reading Ephesians 6 about the weapons of our warfare. And we were reading in multiple translations and some of the study notes. And I think it's Amplified that talks about doing everything to stand. There's a line that says, do everything that the crisis demands. And when you think of the armor that the Roman soldiers had, the shield was a full body shield, full body, and soaked with water. Not everybody could have the physical strength to do that. And what God was showing me, and what my friend has said, is too many people cower. So sometimes the season you're in to trust God is to do everything that the crisis demands. For you to trust God, what that might look like is rising up and upping your game. And I knew that was true for me. It was like the enemy was presuming that I was going to cower and take this thing lying down. And he's encroaching on territory in multiple areas of my life. And when I've watched her and the power that is infused in her life. It inspired me. And so that chapter is really all about, you have to discern, because sometimes trust is letting go completely, right?
Sure,
but sometimes
sure.
trust is rising up and doing what the crisis demands.
That's such a good word. And I'm picturing, like, imagine what the angelic realm is experiencing when they see people like you and her rise up in the face of the conflict and the burdens. And I just think, wow, this is so much more than just this earthly battle. Of course, we know this, but it's just, I just kind of got a picture of it, and it's pretty awesome. But it does. It's so cool how, you know, we encourage one another. You know, kind of like popcorn popping, I guess, is what just came into my mind. But we encourage more people to pop up and rise up to our greater authority. And so just hearing your taking your battle box downstairs and going for an hour and a half and like, by golly, not today, Satan, you know, gets me like fired up. So
well,
I think
if I
this
could
is
just
cool.
Throw this your way too. Yeah. You know, one thing years ago, the Lord, when I was just lamenting over the, you know, for those who don't know, I've got a backstory of Lyme disease, mold toxicity, and it's been brutal
journey
that have been extremely hard. And I remember just going, how long, oh God, in a 7-year stretch. And he said, you don't have to feel well to be powerful in the kingdom, you know? And I knew that was true. And I saw a reel, I don't know, a year ago from a pastor's wife, speaker gal, and I don't remember her name, but she was talking about being in a dry season of life. And she was in bed, and the Lord said, I want you to get up. I want you to pray and go out in the living room. She's like, can I do it from here?
Yeah.
And he's like, I want you to go out there. So she goes out to pray, and she's like, I'm literally flinging my prayers up. There was no emotion, no sense of God's presence. And she's sort of flinging the prayers up. And she goes, they were like cotton balls fluttering in the air, bouncing off the ceiling, fluttering back down. She said it felt like of no consequence. So she just prayed and prayed, never felt like she made a connection, but went, huh. And she went back to bed. When she went back to bed, she fell asleep and had a vivid dream. And in the vivid dream, God woke her up to go out into the couch to pray. And as she prayed, the cotton balls were going to the air. She's sitting there all tired and, you know, but the cotton balls passed through the ceiling. And when they passed through the ceiling, they went up into the sky. And then they passed through the clouds. And once they passed through the clouds, they turned into missiles that shot into the enemy camp.
Oh,
and it
wow.
was a reminder again, on your weakest day, you are more powerful than you can imagine. And one more word about that. I just had Tom Phillips on my show. He's a VP for Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And he was painting the image. He's talking about the first, second, third heavens. And he was saying, there is like a demonic force field in that second heavens that the enemy is trying to make this impenetrable, where our prayers don't make it to God. But he said, the prayers of the saints are constantly blowing holes in that thing. So
Amen.
Anytime he's trying to tamper down the work of God, it's the prayers of the saints that are blowing holes in his kind of shield and field that he's trying to keep from people experiencing God. And so I feel like you just need to know, on your weakest day, you can shake the heavens and shake the earth, and you can make the enemy tremble for sure.
So rise up, saints.
Come on.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Intercede and let's go for it. So how can readers discern the difference between faith-filled perseverance and fear-driven striving when they are waiting on God to move in their lives?
Well, this one, I really had to learn the hard way. And Wendy, again, you know my backstory. But so when I contracted Lyme, it was 36 years ago, I was really sick for about 6-7 years, really like barely army crawling. And then I had IV therapy and some other things. And it got me to, on a scale of 1 to 10, I was probably a 5 or 6. I was functioning. I went back to teaching aerobics, never felt well. But I just, that kept the fight in me, right? And so I just kind of went through life, and probably 20 years of this, where about every few months, about 4 times a year, the numbing would start to surge. And all of a sudden I would get blindsided and knocked off my feet, and I couldn't get out of bed for several days. I'd be really sick for a few weeks, and then I'd come up swinging again. So every few months, so about 4 times a year, I'd have these flare ups and up and down for 20 years. And then about 10 years ago, I had a pretty massive relapse, and it was absolutely terrifying. And I could tell with the surges of neurosymptoms, it was more than Lyme. And it turned out to be so. So people with chronic Lyme, especially neurological Lyme, can't often process mold. And I've been repeatedly exposed to black mold. And I had an MRI that showed 7 areas of brain damage. And so I'm on live radio every day and I'm having stroke-like symptoms at night. I'm on the air during the day. My neck, my chin, my tongue are going numb. My vision starts to blur. The room starts to move. And I don't even remember what I'm saying. There's times and my word find issues were like something in my brain could not find words. So I literally said one time, I keep putting the wrong words in my sandwiches instead of sentences. I'm writing my umpteenth book and suddenly could not remember the difference between T-H-E-R-E and E-I-R. The there and there. I had to Google it. And it was terrifying. I mean, I was way too young, even though, you know, I mean, to be dealing with symptoms like that, it was a nightmare come true for me. And so
most people would not even fully understand and know that about you because of how well you do actually articulate. Like it's been like a lot of people don't know what you've been through, even though you say it, they can't necessarily hear it because the interviews you do are impeccable. Your writing is great. Anyway,
I appreciate that so much because it's like my producer who knows me well would catch me stuttering a little bit or stumbling over my words. She's like, okay, you got this. Cause you know, but other people would say they didn't notice it, but I know, And all that to say, that was a 7-year battle, the second round. And so I've been doing pretty well for the last few years, even though I have daily neural symptoms, I'm way better than I was. In that 7 years, there were times where it was just crickets with God, where I was praying about other areas of life and he would answer and he would move. And I'm speaking or doing the show, God was clearly present and moving. But in this area, crickets. And I'm like, where are you? What do you want me to do? And what happened for me, because I am former fitness person and I care about health. I mean, I love health stuff. And I think that's one of the reasons you and I get along so well. But I took matters into my own hands. I became hypervigilant. And I, you know, the thing is, when you know you're into striving, you take matters into your own hands. But you become a legalist, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like I made a law out of it. You know, there's discipline is one thing. And I say this often, God is not obligated to make you healthy if you keep trashing your body. I mean, what you sow is what you grow. So stewardship is matters to God and it's all over. Absolutely. That's one thing. But hypervigilance, where you're taking it into your own hands, you better do it perfectly. You know, it's like if I would have a little sugar, I'd feel so guilty. I'd come under condemnation. The inflammation would rise. Mm. I bought more supplements than I needed. I mean, I took it. And when I started, there's no peace. There's no life. There's striving. There's consequence. There's the law. And that's how you know is if you might be that way in your marriage or with your kids, they better perform because they need to make you look good. Or in your job, when there's anxiety and stress and striving, you know you're in the flesh. And you know you're in hypervigilance. When you're in grace, when you're in the flow, you live a life of receptivity and you kind of get over yourself a little bit. And you know there's room and space to not be perfect. And you can smile, you know, you can trust God that he redeems it all. And vastly different territories, really.
Totally. Yeah. And you can just be authentic and real and not worry about what others think first
that's
and foremost,
right.
Because you have an audience of one and
that's
it's
exactly
about
right.
You and him. So that's so good. Mm-hmm. Well, you are just such a delight. I know we have to cut this short. You have another interview coming up soon. You've got a busy season with this book launch, but I'm so thankful for you as a friend. I'm so thankful for how the Lord just continues to use you and the way you share and articulate his word in such a graceful way allows others to receive him in just a new and fresh way that maybe they wouldn't have before.
Thank
so
you.
Thank you. Thank you again for writing this book, More Than You Can Imagine. If you could hold up that beautiful book, there it is.
Yay.
Make sure you get your copy. Those of you that are watching and listening, get your copy. It is so good. You can go to SusieLarson.com or Amazon, of course, and get your copy today. Any last words that you'd like to share with us or a prayer or something that's on your heart?
Yeah, I'll say a couple of things. One is if you're local, I've got a book launch party coming up on the 13th this week, and it's free, but we need RSVPs so we can get a head count on how much we're going to buy some cake. We're giving some really great giveaways away, but they're in proportion to the head count we have on our RSVP. So SusieLarson.com, at the bottom of the page, there's a RSVP for Eventbrite. It would be so wonderful to see you. Wendy is one of my readers. I picked some just very special people in my life that you, so she just is free to look in the book and find something that means something to her. And then she will offer an exhortation to you to build resilient trust. And I really, my prayer is that this gathering, we're going to worship. I think people are going to feel inspired and ignited in faith.
Yes.
Because you have to apply yourself to trust. You don't just, because we default to worry and fear and distraction and discouragement. You've got to apply yourself and build a resilient trust when you're not in the storm. When you are in the storm, you're always building your faith and your trust. And when the storm comes, you know what? You'll stand and the storm will break against you. So I hope you'll join us. I think it's going to be a powerful night. And Wendy, thank you ahead of time for being a part of that special time.
Honored and privileged, really. It's going to be incredible. So yes, make sure you go to SusieLarson.com, sign up, register. We both expect to see you there. So
yes.
Very excited. Thank you again. And God bless you, friend.
Love you too, hon. Thank
you. Love you. Bye-bye. All right. I sure hope you enjoyed this episode with Susie Larson. What a great interview, huh? I do also hope that you'll go to Susie Larson Live and get her book, More Than You Can Imagine. But also, if you are in the Twin Cities, please, please, please come out to her book launch party and register. Register at SusieLarson.com and let's support her. This is one of her best books yet. All of her books are fantastic, but I'm telling you, this one is amazing. And I know the book will bless you, but also being at this launch party will be a blessing to you as well. So we do hope to see you there. Again, go to SusieLarson.com and register. Awesome. And if you are, actually, you know what? Share this. Share this with this episode with friends that you know. Maybe you can't make the launch party. Maybe this episode blessed you and you want to share it with other people that could be at the launch party, or just listen to the episode and shed a few tears alongside Susie and I. Did you cry too? Or was it just us? I don't know. I was just really, my heart was soft and couldn't help it. Just couldn't help it. So maybe you had a couple tears as well, and that's okay. But share this episode with others that you know, and hopefully they will be inspired and hope-filled and ready to really walk out their authority in a greater way. So again, share this episode with your friends and your family, and we hope to see you at the book launch this Thursday. Go to SusieLarson.com. Now, as always, if you are looking for a safe place that is spiritually grounded in Jesus and looking for a place for your health journey to unfold, go to GetVisiblyFit.com. And that is where I work with all of my ladies. And I mainly work with women, but are looking for transformation. They're looking for a new way of gaining tools and resources on nutrition, exercise, mindset, their spiritual walk, and really getting into a healthy place, mind, body, spirit, and emotions. So I have a Visibly Fit 7-week accelerator program and would love to have you join me and all of the other amazing ladies that have gone through the Visibly Fit program and have had great results. So if that is you and you're curious, go to GetVisiblyFit.com. If you just want to reach out to me and have questions, feel free to reach out to me on social media. I'm always just a social media post away to answering whatever questions you may have. So feel free to reach out. I love dialoguing. All right. If I can help you in any other way, even if it's with prayer request, I'm all ears. I would be more than happy to pray for you and whatever's on your heart. So again, thanks for tuning in to this episode, and we will catch you next time right here on Visibly Fit. Be blessed.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypet.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a Visibly Fit day.